Public Works Committee meeting Tuesday, January 17th, 2023. And in accordance with the disaster proclamation, we are offering attendance remote in addition to in person. I see a couple have taken advantage of that. And, all right, let's open up. Any citizen comments? Hearing none. All right, next up, minutes from our last meeting for correction and or approval, December 20th, 2022. Anything for you, Cap?
Nope.
Joe, you got any updates needed for the minutes from last month's meeting? Hearing none, we'll go with a no. All right, go ahead and enter those in. We're all good to go. And on to new business, PW2023-01, starting a new year. Snow operations report, pretty robust one here, too.
Well, thankfully, we're going to start up lightly. We only had two events so far this year, but one was a four-day event where we did use 433 tons of salt. Hmm. But the other one was just a light dusting. Just as a reminder, everybody, the trucks highlighted in gray are estimates. Those are the little dump trucks with the little spreaders on them. And we put a barrel down and gauge them as best we can, but it's still an estimate.
Yep.
So far, we only have one truck that's been broken down, and it is now in the shop getting fixed, and we hope to have it back in a week or so.
Okay.
If there's any other questions, I'll happily answer.
I think the only one I had was the 1-5. Was that when we had which one was the exceptionally cold day and it warmed up later where the roads were kind of icy? But then
that was nope. The 1-5 was just a brief little snow in the morning.
Okay. I don't know, 26.
Well, 26. Yes, the Monday. 12-26 is when it finally broke and we went out and cleared everything off.
Yeah, okay. Perfect. I'd seen some kind of questions online. So
yep.
Did you notice it was a bit more slippery?
Yep, and as soon as it warmed up, it peeled right off and we got it.
Okay. Did you guys get anything official? I didn't have anything coming through.
No, we had two, I think one driving complaint like Christmas Eve or
yeah.
The day before.
But pretty
few pretty called in to dispatch,
yeah.
Which is fine.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
yep.
I'll take
right.
it.
No, it's perfect. And once again, thank you to you and your crew for...
You bet.
Getting not only ahead of that, but pushing through it, those can be long days. So
they did a great job.
And with any luck, we'll have as few long days as
we can.
All right.
Eighths are fewest ever.
Perfect.
And the winds are so.
Nice. Excellent. Thanks for global warming. Thanks for the update here.
You bet.
New business item number 2, PW2023-02, our bond reduction summary through December 31st. I think that should say 2022.
Yes, it should say that. That's correct. Yeah, typical report. See this every quarter. So we had a fairly active year as far as reductions go. I'd be happy to answer any questions anybody may have.
I have none specific.
Okay.
Nope. I'm good.
Joe, Chris, you got anything?
No questions. I'm good.
All right, appreciate it. I was going to say Joe's a man of many words. All right, all right, all good there. Thanks, Brad.
You're welcome.
New business item number 3, PW2023-03, the capital project update.
Yeah, once again, typical memo that we provide every quarter and have a detailed memo in the packet. Just want to highlight a couple things. And then certainly answering the questions anybody may have. But on Cornell's Road Interceptor, we did have a pre-construction meeting just after the first of the year, and the contractor is getting geared up to start that sanitary sewer project. Don't have an exact start date, although it should be very soon, and then we'll report on that moving forward. So target still is to get the sewer built over the winter time and get that out to Bright Farms. The other couple things to point out, we have several contracts that will be hopefully going to letting relatively soon. So in the next couple months, you'll see a lot of bids being brought forth for consideration water main contracts, road to better roads, and baseline road, for example. Mm-hmm. So next couple months, you'll see some activity with that. Beyond that, that was it for my brief report, but happy to answer anybody's questions.
Okay. So the water mains, is that extra stuff to help with the Lake Michigan water requirements?
Yeah, so yeah, there's some more items on the agenda later on.
Okay.
That would be the extra stuff to to help support you know, getting the non-revenue water loss below 10%.
Correct. Okay, that's what I thought it was.
But the one that's listed on this report is just the normal one?
Yeah, that was the original one, which is back to the north of us. Yes, so we anticipate getting that out to bid, starting that one. You know, after day
and
one.
And then we have an additional
second one, like in starting in July, August, correct? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No questions. Ken, you got any more?
Nope.
No. Joe, Chris, any questions? Rather eventful so far. All right, well, speak up if you're having trouble on mute, but we'll move on to new business item number 4, PW2023-04, which is our public works facility discussion.
Yeah, so we included the entire presentation from the packet that was presented to you back in December by Kluber. In case anybody had any questions, I know Ken and I had a brief conversation ahead of time, and I just want to clarify kind of the roles and what we're looking for. So our design engineer is Kluber so far. So they've done space needs analysis for some very early planning.
Yep.
In order to continue to use them, we would have to actually approve a new contract similar to how we did with Corrigan for our Prairie Point building, where they would then go through, do some lower level planning, getting into some of the details before they actually then prepare the bids and specs and put it out to bid for us. For this project, we actually will probably propose a construction manager who would be our advocate rather than using somebody on staff because it's such a large project that does this all the time. They would basically be our advocate in the construction process, potentially at risk, depending on how we structure the contract, and then go out to hire a GC. So I'm getting ahead of myself, other than I just want to make it, you know, clear to everybody, Kluber will design whatever we want. So if we think this is too expensive, we should task them with ways to cut costs. If we think it's too feature-rich, we should ask them to cut you know, rooms or processes out.
Right.
And they should be able to walk us through you know, other towns, what they're doing, and really defend what's going on. Ultimately, whatever they design is going to be bid out, so we're going to test the market on there. So if we're uncomfortable with the price, you know, we can talk about it. You know, we can go back and forth on why we think we need, you know, certain features or pieces of equipment or, you know, building flows within it. But it's our decision. So we'll go out to bid afterwards. And Kluber doesn't really have a say in that. They get no financial incentive from it either. So I just wanted to make that clear before we move along. And, you know, I didn't talk about it much in the public presentation at City Council, but you know, this has been a couple years in the making, at least as far as the space needs analysis goes. So, you know, we designed an ultimate plan, then we came back and we said, what are ways we can cut costs, which is that smaller project that we think is about $24 million, and that's all in. That includes, you know, all the utilities and site prep and stuff, you know, furniture and fixtures, et cetera, that other towns, Ken, you had asked about Montgomery in the meeting, you know, may not have because that's just their construction bid number versus all the add-ins there. And so they took a look through those things, made some recommendations, condensed some of the spaces down so that they're a little bit smaller, a little bit cheaper to build, and then came up with this. So the one thing I know from those internal meetings, depending on what we want to do, is, you know, right now we've got 10% of our vehicles under garage, maybe?
Maybe 15.
Okay, so 15%. So we've got 40, 50 vehicles.
So you know, how we got 30, I think.
Okay.
With pickups and
at the PW building.
At PW Parks.
Okay.
Has no another in.
10 or 15. So when we were going through the planning process, you know, the biggest cost of that is not necessarily the offices and all the spaces there. It's the, you know, giant building for storage. And so, you know, they said going into it, everybody always wants 100% of their vehicles to be under roof, and generally the average is somewhere between 80 and 90% of what occurs. Right. That's a little bit different from us because, yes, some of the towns that they've done, Montgomery, South Elgin, are growing, but we're probably growing faster than each one of those.
Right.
So the question is, how do we right-size it? You know, do we want a little bit of space in there so that as we grow, we're not having to construct onto it? But, you know, we could pare down some of these things if affordability and cost was a concern. And so on that, Rob is planning, you know, our budget proposal here that's going to come out in a few weeks. And so the mayor and I have asked him to put the worst case scenario, highest costs, in there to show you how that impacts the budget. And then that gives you a better idea of how you how affordable it is. And then obviously if it's not affordable, we can kind of pare that back rather than doing it the reverse, which is a little bit more difficult, I think, at least from a budgetary planning perspective. So that's it. You know, if anybody has questions about it, I know that the main policy option that the architects will look for whenever we're designing this will be, do we want to build the ultimate project and not have to touch it, or do we want to build a smaller project and then maybe have to add on to the garage and construction inflation, you know, a few years down the road.
Right.
And that's a policy decision for everybody to make. So that's where we're sitting. We need some idea of timing, process, affordability in order to entertain that next design contract with Kluber or whoever, you know, and go from there.
And remind me right now, how many total sites are we storing here?
Well, we have two, maybe 610 Tower Lane, then we have 185 Wolf Street, and then we store out of Tremont, we store a bunch of stuff, and we have the two shipping containers.
Okay.
And then that's where we keep the leaf back. We have these have stuff.
Yeah.
We have stuff at 609 North Bridge. We have trailers.
Yeah. Is the park stuff typically stored in there, or do they have additional space as well?
They have most of their stuff in a building.
Oh, no. Yeah. All their Christmas trees are in the water.
Well, okay. Yeah. How about trucks? I'm talking about
trucks.
Yeah,
but I mean,
yeah.
They're not supposed to be stored in there. We got them tasked by the IEP to find a different spot to store them.
Okay.
We're full.
Right.
And one thing to remember is that, like at Oswego, Montgomery, you see their costs, they do not include a parks department. Mm-hmm. They have park districts,
yeah.
Which is a lot of equipment and a lot of manpower that we're also building for.
Yeah, I mean, the manpower is almost double.
Correct.
You know, once you add them in there.
So just, I guess, for Mike, I think it's clarity questions. The public works garage doesn't have any pull-through options. Is that not a thing you guys typically have to deal with much?
Pull-through?
Yeah.
Oh, we love this pull-through design.
This year?
Yeah.
So this will benefit both
yeah,
sides?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. Yes. Excellent. Right now we play Jenga with the vehicles.
Okay.
Get them in and out of doors.
They tip over eventually.
I think that we've been relatively okay with, you know, backing into each other and everything, but it takes time.
Yeah.
It's unsafe. You know, from time to time for employees moving vehicles on top of each other. So that's something that, you know, I liken it to this building. Yes, we're getting by here and over there, but, you know, when you look at a modern facility, you know, they don't have the quirks that we're dealing with operationally. And so that's one of the goals, too, in, you know, getting into a new building is just making it safer, quicker, and just better, really for the employees, but also the residents.
Got it.
So when you pick calculator figure for future growth, there's an argument out there that right now our boundaries, we're covering it now, right?
Yeah,
streets. And so before you would have future growth, you would have to start talking about bringing in more subdivisions or expanding our property, right? The boundaries.
Or filling in the subdivision.
Well, you're like Grand Reserve, let's take, because that's got a long ways to go yet.
Sure.
You still plow that though, right? You still take care of those streets.
Yes, but like Unit 27 was just built this year,
mm-hmm.
and then the piece on the very far west end of Kennedy's not been built yet. Unit 10, right up in north of the school, has not been built yet. There's still a lot of infrastructure to add, which would add a lot more roads as well.
Yeah, the other thing I like to remind everybody too of plowing and salting is we hope that it's like an 8-week thing, and sometimes it's 12 weeks, but it's a fraction of the year. There's so much emphasis we put on it, and it's so labor intensive, so resource intensive, that we forget that it's just like, it's only this little piece of what's going on. So as we add more people, there's more water main issues, there's water quality issues, you run into sewer blockages. I mean, there's just all these things that even if the infrastructure is there, you add people,
storm sewer are gonna bubble up. Getting much tighter and stricter.
So the other thing is, and I'm trying to get a grip on, so we just did a $10 million building. We're told we're gonna need a well. That's what, 7 million we said left.
Correct.
The water infrastructure to get the 10%, that's another what?
14 million over 3 years.
And we would try to tack on 20 million here, right? That's where are we getting all this money? That's just the thought that's coming to my mind that
That's where the budget discussion comes in.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Repayment.
And I thought maybe I was the only one that was thinking about that, but I know there's other aldermen that feel the same way about
this. We are.
Because if you got to raise, the only way I know almost how to do it is you're going to have to raise taxes.
Yeah, so let me just try to break that conversation down a little bit. The water is, giant elephant room. So that is like its own, needs its own team of handlers, and you got to have a way to basically pay for that. That's going to be done through a combination of water rate increases. I mean, you're not going to fund water projects with sewer funds, general funds, property taxes, short of you going to the community and saying, like, we can reduce your water rates, by X amount if you increase property taxes or you implement a new sales tax or transfer tax or whatever that's up being. So that's, like, has to be solved on its own. This building, at $20 million would be, I think, our largest project ever, but for the water. So yes, that's a giant concern. So that's why I'm trying to split it up into funds, have Rob budget for the worst case scenario, see how the existing revenues meet it. And if it shows a massive shortfall, then we know that that's not gonna work financially, if not politically, so.
Is Rob gonna, for the well, is he budgeting that as increase of water rates?
We have not projected any increase of water rates yet, other than, told everybody.
So there's $20 million at probably, right? Those two items, the water structure and the well.
Yes.
And that's not based yet on any type of water rates increase.
Correct.
That's what I wanted to know.
So we had told people that based on like a $100 million water project, which is now probably 120-ish, that our water rates, just the water portion of the bill would double, go from $45 to about 90 something. That would be one way to pay for it, theoretically, and I'm way oversimplifying this, but if you just came in May 1 and said it's $93, we would be able to pay for it as we go to a certain degree for a few years. So you spread that out over time, you bond it, like there are ways that you can afford it, the community can afford it, hopefully, by utilizing low-interest loans and grants and stuff to be able to say, we don't have a choice on water. Like, it's not an option for us to continue doing what we're doing. We have to do this. Let's solve this problem. And then the PW building is, like, a secondary issue at that point. It's, with the money left over between, and it can be split between four departments, water, sewer, streets, and parks. Like, can we afford it? So one of the things that we talked about, too, years ago, and it come up recently, was, like, selling of assets. Theoretically, if we consolidate parks into this building, you've got an existing building down there that we may or may not want to keep, but it's probably worth between $1.5 million and $2 million, is my guess, based on market rates. So, if we were to sell that, that would be one way to pay for it. You're basically consolidating, facilities in one. So these are all things that we're going to, give you some options and talk through there. And it's not going to be easy, and it's a very difficult and complex conversation, but we're going to, shoot for the moon first, and then, see where that ends up and go from there.
Well, and the moon being only a 20% growth factor.
Well,
that's not...
I'll give you an example.
That's not a moon.
When a few years ago, they took each alderman and pulled us aside for the downtown study.
Sure.
And I remember that guy telling me, I'm like, well, I think this is what we can afford. And he's like, I don't want to hear that. He goes, I want you to tell me, ideally, if, you know, yeah. I guess if you had a golden cow,
yeah.
what you would want. And that was, to me, that was like a wrong message, because I'm trying to think what's reality and what, you know, reach for the stars. It's, I don't think you can, I mean, that's how, and that, ever since that happened to me, I was like, and I even went and talked to Carlo, I'm like, did he tell you that? And he told him the same thing, and you know, you shouldn't, I don't know.
Yeah,
it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I understand that sentiment. Certainly we wouldn't want to be doing yeah. that when we're going out to bid, saying like, well, let's just see what the prices are, you know, knowing we can't afford it. But, you know, you shoot high first, you figure out what you can afford, you pare it back from there, you figure out what's important and what's not, and you bid it out and see what happens. So. And, you know, not that we're saying you have to do $30 million, you have to do the 22 or 24 or whatever it comes out to be, but I mean, that's the...
But see, I got the impression strategy. That that's like the bottom line that we're being told.
That is the bottom line according to the scope that we gave him, okay. which is we wanted, you know, a smaller plan that accommodated for growth, that still made things, you know, modern. So if our this is the same conversation I had with the mayor and everybody else when we were doing Prairie Point. Our standard can be whatever we want it to be. If we want to continue to operate the same facility, we can't, you know, and we don't have to build a new building. It's just, do we find that acceptable or not? And we can severely downgrade it. You could have all your cars outside and probably build $10 million building, you know, new construction, and everybody sits outside. It's just, you know, what does that do to operations? What does it do to equipment values and costs? Like, when you go to resell them, how long does it take to, you know, fix things? Yeah, yep. Prep things for snow. So that, it's all part of the conversation. It's not just like, you know, they're not saying we have to do this. They're saying, here's what you asked us to give you. Here's what we think it should look like. But there's tweaks.
I think there's some of us that got the impression that this is it. And it's like, no, I know for a fact there are, so.
Yeah. It's in that we've paid him for a scope for a space needs analysis, and he's completed that. Mm-hmm. So we've paid him for that. So any other decision-making processes that we do or planning as a new contractor or whatever. But, there's still a lot of discussion, planning, operational decisions that have to be made in order for us to get to an estimated cost that then ultimately gets bid out. So there's still two or three, you know, levels of planning, okay. I think, before we get to that point. But... I mean, now is the time for you to say, I'm uncomfortable with how big it is or how expensive it is.
The expensive part is what I'm...
Yeah, and then for us to say, like, okay,
but I don't know what the solution is.
Here's the option. And we wouldn't expect you to.
Like, well, I've been doing a lot of research last month.
That should be, you know, the staff recommendation. Certainly you're free to do your own research, but we would go to the architects and say, like, you know, what are the first things that you've seen that you would, you know, change? Is it, you know, a facade? You know, decrease in quality? Is it, you know, the way the building is constructed? You know, do we give up public parking? Like, you know, it's all those things. And they would probably be able to rattle them off the top of their head. So,
you go there. See how the other people feel.
Yeah, your questions are good. Joe, you got any questions? Chris?
Yeah, I could. Bart, I think you touched on it. In regard to the design, we are not contracted with Kluwer for that. Their scope is limited still with the space needs. And anything that goes forward from here, we need to have a contract for design, or is also design build an option for it as well?
Yes.
Okay, so both parts of the question are yes.
Yeah, we haven't made any formal votes on how it goes. I think internally we assume we would, you know, recommend a construction manager and kind of go from there. But, you know, the contracting part of it, the design build part of it, we haven't really vetted internally. So it's still a possibility.
Okay, so those options I think are all good. We're not set that we're going with Kluwer moving forward, but design build is an option. And I really do like the idea of the construction manager. I think that's very beneficial to us. So that I want to make sure stays in play. In regard to the building itself, the design, Eric, don't take this the wrong way. I don't want the Taj Mahal.
Oh, this is not the Taj Mahal, Chris.
I want to make sure we have a functional building that meets our objectives. And one question I have on all vehicles under a roof, at one time, are all vehicles in like a capacity that they could be pulled out, like the trucks and trailers, or does the plan contemplate like taking trailers with mowers and stacking them or setting them to the side for the functional use of, seasonality?
Yes, it does. If you look on, I can't remember which page of the, it's page 34 of the PDF of the packet. You'll see that there, at both ends of that pull-through garage, are stacked up, and that'll be our mowers. That'll be the smaller stuff that's seasonal.
Trailers.
Yep. Trailers, mowers.
Okay. And that's what I want to make sure is that we're not just laying everything out, that it's going vertical if we can, so that we're, the 23, 25 weeks of mowing, those take precedent. The 6 to 12 weeks, if max, of winter operations, that's taken care of, so we're rotating those. I want to make sure that is
good.
I have no issue with the drive-through. I know that's your preferred method. The one I wanted to question in more detail is the mechanics bay. This obviously assumes we're going to have a full-time staff person added to do that work. I think it was it 3 bays or 2 bays?
I thought it was 4.
It's actually a 4 bay. It's 1 heavy lift, 2 light lifts, and then just a work area.
And that's what is recommended is necessary, and we think for the size of the fleet, that would be acceptable, or that's the minimum requirement we have for our fleet size.
We asked them to size it, Chris, for the police department and all the admin vehicles as well, the building department.
That was my next question. Are we doing maintenance such as brakes, rotors, oil changes out of this space with that mechanic?
Yes, sir. That's our plan. That's what makes it really pay for itself, is being able to do the entire fleet.
So is there a chargeback that would occur to the police department or to the other departments as well?
Yeah, we haven't thought through that far in advance, but I would say that there probably should be and would be.
Okay. I think part of you can see where I'm going is how to whittle this down and break it into pieces that are, we're making this beneficial to the entire community. Now, I know we've got this meeting spaces, the 2 conference rooms, I guess.
Those are.
There's one for each use, one for, I think it was the Parks and Rec as a boardroom, and then the other side for just a small conference. And then we have the training room. Is there any ability to use the large space at City Hall for the training room? Or do we find that there's going to be enough uses that it's justifiable in the Public Works building, or there would be too much overlap with trying to schedule?
We can do anything operationally as it relates to scheduling. What we are trying to avoid is the current briefings for the departments in the existing building are literally standing in the middle of the concrete floor, in the middle of the garage, among all the equipment. So we were trying to give them a spot to just sit down and be able to, all hear the same message from time to time. So, but that's one of those things that, if we talk about and we're trying to cut costs, maybe that's a sacrifice we would give up, with the understanding that, they're going to have to stand and or they're going to have to travel over to a different building to do. So.
Well, with that, then, okay, let's try to justify it to me. How often are these briefings? How many people? What parts of the department? If somebody can enlighten me on that.
Well, we have daily. We talk to each department. I go talk to each department daily. So if they would, I go out to the shop for the street department. The sewer department is in the break room, and the water department is out in the treatment plant because we don't have a space big enough to put everybody. And I don't always make it to the water treatment plant. If I have a long discussion with the street department, I'll hit the water department the next day. It's just like a morning, almost like a roll call, Chris. So it's just like what's going to go on for the day, if something's changed overnight, if we have anything that's come in overnight that we need to attack. And then it gives the foreman time to kind of get their game plan together with their what they need for equipment, and they work that all out right there, and it's done in probably 15 minutes.
So with this see combining all three of those into one, or would you still have three, but it's just a more efficient space?
I would love to do one meeting where I don't have to repeat everything. I could just ask individual questions, boom, 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 and we're done.
Well, while you're doing that, Chris, so does this plan show a second story, right?
The only part of it that's second story is there's some storage bays and rooms above the mechanics area.
I thought I read about an elevator.
There's a mezzanine level.
Yeah, and I was looking, and so is there a walkway or something?
Right here.
Because according to the dotted drawing, I didn't see how you would get from the elevator shaft. It looked like it went right into another room.
There's stairs, and then there's stairs and an elevator above here.
And then how do you go to a room that's more in the center?
It's one big open room on top of these shops.
Okay, because I thought there were like individual rooms, and then I'm looking at the drawing.
These are on the main level.
Okay.
But on top, it's all one. It's for the storage.
So it's one open room.
One open
room. And not, so you come out of the elevator or the steps and
you're going to look down.
Okay. Because I was like, I don't see a walkway to get to rooms that are in the middle. So just how I was looking at the drawing.
That's what it was.
Okay.
Some of those details, too, wouldn't be fleshed out at this level, which is why they have the multiplier for like whatever the space assumptions are, so that there's common areas and utility rooms and all these other things that like may not be shown but need to be in the building.
But same with the layout of the actual offices. Yeah. This was done around a space need, so it accounted for people.
Yep.
It just showed an efficient use of space.
The main garage is tilt-up, if I recall right. That's our thought, is it would be a tilt-up type structure.
Yep.
The offices and the rest of it, would that also be tilt-up?
I believe many will be panels, yes.
Okay, so it's...
Yeah, we're not going, there's not going to be a whole bunch of...
It's not going to be stick and brick, it's not going to be CNU, it's going to be...
Yeah, and parts of it may be CNU.
Now, with the office space and the mechanics thing, as I look at this, since the mechanics bay is not a drive-through,
no.
If it's something that we can take that entire block, turn it, my thought is to try to use the linear face of the garage. Because you've got the garage, you've got the shops are only accessed from the interior of the garage. Is it possible to...
That's something we can certainly look at in design. Again, this was a space needs that was blocked on.
Because I know whenever we're consolidating, and obviously, if you go, anytime you go higher, multiple floors, you cut cost of roofing.
Sure.
This doesn't necessarily make sense because you've got a lot of up and down traversing, which doesn't work. But if there's a way to consolidate it for the wall space, that's my, how can we make this a little more efficient?
And that we can look at.
More blocking.
But I know that they keep that a little separate just because of the rules for building, since it will be the flammable, with the oil, the heavy,
right.
All
so
contained,
those
everything.
Have to be,
it all has to be specially built there.
So it's canopy adjacent to it with firewalls, fire ratings, and I know part of the argument was, well, we try to create this wing to block the view from the front. Let's build a fence, let's put some landscaping, let's...
Yeah,
it's those a lot are, less expensive than a building.
Yeah, those are all things we can look at in the actual...
My concern is just the cost. I think we are finding some ways to push it into different departments and spread it out to find ways to do it, but I want to try to get this cost down a little bit and still provide functionality without, I don't want us to build something that's not going to work for us in 5-10 years.
Sure, and just as one other caveat, the fueling station.
Yes.
That is for the entire city as well, and that is between $750 and $1 million on its own.
Yeah.
So that's just something, I mean, we'll
see.
Salt dome.
Does the salt dome will terminate our agreement with Kendall County?
Nope. We pay for it. It's $200 a year now.
So for that, we'll still keep there, but we'll keep a much larger volume.
We may be able to sell.
Yeah.
We may be able to sell our space.
Okay. Because I'm kind of just looking, do we need that? But
it's paid for.
Yeah.
That makes sense. If it's paid for, then you do it. The reason I was asking about the, if we're stacking things and doing things, I know we've talked about doing like lean-to shed type structures at the PE. was there an opportunity to do kind of carport, you know, summertime shade storage outside in order to get vehicles out and rotate them seasonally?
It will have
at least partially protected.
We'll have the material storage bins here for that as well if we need to.
Well, I'm thinking like trailers and things.
I'm thinking that same thing too.
That was my concern is if they were not being stacked going vertically, get them under.
In the winter time, probably. In the summertime, Scott leaves five hooked up.
Okay.
So with mowers on them. So yes. that's why they want to pull those in.
Yep.
Ours, sure.
You guys are.
You know, the two we'd like to keep good, I mean, they'll last 20 years. Yeah, and that will, it makes a big difference because they have to be safety sticker and all things. So to have them in good working order, but some of the older, like our old Doolittle trailer, sure, in the wintertime. We're not opposed to that. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying we have to, but it's been since 1974 when they built that original garage over there. We put an addition on in 97, and then we bought Wolf Street in 07.
Something like, for the parts, yeah.
Well, that was, PW bought that. Right. It's still being paid for out of our capital fund.
And I think, Ken, you touched on this, the growth of the city. Grand Reserve has a lot to go still. There's a lot that's come on, but there's still a lot to go. Bristol Bays, there's a lot happening there. Westbury hasn't gone. Caledonia's finishing. Whispering Meadows, Whispering Meadows is working. Kendall Towns, those are going through. We have a lot that's going on, not including anything that potentially could come in. I just completely ignored the entire south side.
Right.
So for our 230 miles of road, we have dozens of miles more coming online, mm-hmm. not including parks, because we'll have potentially a few more park spaces coming online.
Yeah, but if you don't bring any more developments in, your probably parks are pretty much 40 or something.
Well.
So they're 38 now,
still
so.
Have more.
Yeah. One of our biggest growth areas is honestly the trail maintenance.
I wasn't going to say trail. I was going to say roadway.
Roadway and trail.
The next one is going to be Route 47.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take on that once that project is done. So, Mike, as much as I want to try to rein in this budget, I also know we have a lot of growth. And it's not just public works, streets, it's also parks.
It's everything.
Yeah, so. And the fact that we're bringing in the police department and administration for maintenance out here, there's a lot of benefit. But the water study is a big issue with how much we have. So all these things are hitting at the same time. So if we can shave.
I was kind of hoping that there'd be a way of like maybe a smaller main working footprint, and then you have storage for to get stuff underneath roofs. You know, maybe it's not, maybe you have to pull them out of there and bring them into the main building here to do, you know what I'm saying? Like puzzle pieces that you, I mean, especially to start with. I don't know. That's something I hadn't thought about. Because then you could trim down the main working building a little bit, but you could still, on this property, have store to keep everything under a roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to I'd like to see if we can make this more linear, because then expansion, if you take that maintenance shop, turn it, put it at the south end, and then your office building is north-south along the edge, does it give you more room for growth, expanding that way? And I want to make sure that the actual garage is expandable sometimes.
And for the life of me, you guys, they kept talking about this parking lot for the soccer field. First of all, I don't know if I'd want kids running around right next to a public works facility, and it's bad enough where we have now, and the kids hit the foul balls over into that. It seemed like it, to me it was kind of a lame argument that, oh yeah, well, we'll give you parking for a soccer field that might go there someday.
So that was a request by Tim, given the amount of on-street parking that there is over there, and being able to.
Is there a soccer field there now?
There are usually,
yeah. Okay.
And so it's backing up into the subdivision and creating issues. So they said,
does that soccer field belong to that subdivision?
It's not through our programs.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's what I meant. Okay. Yeah. I'll talk to him. I want to talk to him about that.
So I don't think he added the parking lot per se as much as it was like oriented in a way so that the parking lot is closer to the soccer fields. So as far as I know, like between the different drafts that we went through, he didn't net increase any parking.
It just looked like the parking was like being almost shared kind of with public works trucks and stuff like that. I mean,
oh, no, no. It'd be like the visitor parking lot.
Are you going to have a fence in?
A public, no.
No, you're in front of the fence.
No,
it'd be like a public lot.
Public utility, like, you know, as visitors and stuff and employees can still use it.
Many of the employees, I'm sure, would park there and walk into man door the inside of the shop there every morning.
Yeah,
I was looking at it, and
page 33, you can see the dash line where the fence is. So that's,
there's the fence.
He just kept all that open to the public.
Is it possible, just looking at it, with the way the parking lot's on the west side, offices on the east and the garage in the middle, we just flip this thing? Would it still work?
Was the soils.
We have soil there.
We have a few soil issues.
Northwest, is that
it? Any further to the west, I think, and then also I think you run into a little elevation where she kind of goes uphill.
So we can't get anything.
They kept it off of the worst of the soils. And as you get closer to the pond, that's where they were.
So I was going to say, if that wing goes more north-south, could you push the whole thing over to the east, giving
Yeah, and you can extend the building, the actual garage, much further to the south, and you can go to the east.
Mm. It's just the northwest.
And the north, we're not far from the road anyway. You're not sitting way back.
Yeah, I was just thinking, if you flip it, you take the garage,
mm-hmm.
that's away from the parking lot now. You actually have the office spaces, the nicer facade of the building, closer to that parking lot. That's just an initial thought on that.
Yeah, and
as long as functionality works.
That too could all be changed in the actual design phase. I think they started with a square footage and started putting the blocks in place.
Yeah.
And that salt dome, that's the big dash line, that's a turning radius for a semi. So you know how big that is. So that's how much space is back there. Yeah.
Because I would definitely... If you talk about future growth, well, you design it maybe closer to now's demand, and as long as you do it the right way, you could always add it on in the future if you found out we're going to have
to grow. You don't want to be expanding within 5 years.
10 years, huh?
So you don't want to expand within five
no,
years.
No, but I'm thinking more like 10 years probably.
Yeah. Hopefully we're better than that, but...
And I think he kind of showed that in his cost analysis at the bottom, too, was a 10-year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good discussion. Joe, you got anything?
I'm good.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, I have nothing else.
Informational item, or are we going to bring that back to discuss? Do we need direction?
Yeah, so the next step is going to design contracts. I think you guys probably need bit more time to just process it. We can bring back some.
And council as a whole, probably.
For sure.
Yeah.
This has helped to ferret out a couple of the issues with cost and layout. Zoom
information.
Not to mention there's the budget proposal, which is vitally important in the conversation, too.
Yeah.
Because it shows up.
Just that.
Major deficits. I mean, it's going to be everything on the table.
Thank you all. I think it was a good discussion. So, all right. Well, let's talk about a well here. So, PW 2023-05, which is our well number 7, rehabilitation.
All right. It's a little bit about well number 7. So, it has been 15 years or so since it was last rehabbed. It is recommended that you rehab your wells every 7 to 10 years. So, we are quite a bit... behind rehabbing it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, overdue.
Overdue, perfect word. So we did go out and solicit a quote from Lane Western, a single source quote. If you recall, we've done this recently with other well rehabs. Lane has built all the wells within the city, rehabbed several wells previously, and they are the only licensed company around to serve the Byron Jackson Motors pump and motor, which happens to be within this well. So the quote is within reason. We did compare it to the well number 4 rehab and also other rehab projects where we have received bids on recently. This well is deeper, so it has more piping in the ground, so it is a little bit more expensive than other wells that you have seen. But again, it's within reason in our opinion. So we are recommending moving forward with the quotation from Lane Western, roughly in the amount of $360,000. And just a reminder, we typically do add some items in there just in case we run into some things. We're dealing with a pump and motor that's 1,200 feet below the ground, so you never quite know. So certainly there's opportunities you know, not to use some of those line items, which would bring the cost down. Budgetary comment was added by Rob. So this would exceed the line item. However, we're not expending monies in other areas. So overall water budget, there's plenty of money to complete this project. So Eric and I would be happy to address any questions anybody may have.
And if you look at the last line of the actual quote, not last line, last page, item D, that's the one where we hope to save. We hope it doesn't need a new motor. And if you look at the price of that, that's the big chunk.
So a new motor is factored into the bid?
Just
and if it's okay, then
if it's okay,
track it out.
If it goes, it gets anything gets replaced or repaired on it that it needs to, it doesn't need a whole new motor, and then we put it back in the ground.
So what's our odds?
Included within the bid cost, or are you saying it's an add-on?
It's included.
Okay. What's the odds?
Well, which item are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's not. That's an add-on. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
The
oh,
mandatory
add-on.
Items, those are add-ons.
Mandatory
yeah.
alternate
yeah.
bid
yeah.
items.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what we hope not to happen.
So if they pull up the motor and the motor is shot, it's an additional
$200,000. It's going to be another
$200,000. So yeah. We'll save some on rehab costs or whatever, because they won't have to rehab. It'll be a project.
We'll be go first.
Yeah. The last time we had issues with pipe threading and...
Last time they dropped this one down the hole.
Ah, yes. Okay.
So they dropped it all the way to the bottom of the hole. And pipe threading was that this yeah. one and 8 and 9.
So we had a couple $100,000 in change orders on that one. So we'll see what happens.
It's always fun.
Especially when it's 1,250.
Is this the one that we switched with 4 last year? Okay, that's. I guess the only other question I have is, I'm assuming that the when we go down and we inspect and do whatever we need to do, that's standard. So we'll be pumping these wells considerably less, if at all, when we switch water sources. Right? Will that change the inspection time frames or not?
As far as lengthening out the rehab, good question. Yeah, it probably would.
Yeah.
You know, you'd still want to inspect them every so often, but does it have to be every 7 years? You know, probably not. You could probably stretch that out.
Okay. Any question I have? Can you kind of
add? No, Chris? It's pretty done probably.
Joe?
I'm good.
You playing the ukulele?
That's the best.
All right, I'm gonna say we're gonna put this on the standard PW agenda. If you guys are good with that,
you can agree.
Hmm?
He just likes to read them.
I do. Well, you know, I like to have John read them for me.
I don't think that one should be a cassette.
excellent. New business item number 6, PW 2023-06, which is our 2022 Roads to Better Rome. Final payment estimate and change order discussion. We're not, sorry, discussion item.
Yeah, the project is complete. So as typical, we bring forth a final pay estimate and a change in plans or change order. That's IDOT's lingo. And the project did come in almost $38,000 below the bid price. So we are recommending moving forward with approving the two documents.
No questions here. I'm assuming Joe is a no. And despite the fact that I like to read these, I'd like to put this one on consent agenda.
I'm okay with that.
Excellent. New business item number 7, PW 2023-07, which is our 2023 Road to Better Roads update.
All right, this kind of ties in with an agenda item later on, which would be the new business number 9 and the potential contract B, additional water main. So we talked about that at the last city council meeting. The area identified for contract B just happens to be in the area where we had planned a lot of roadway work. So basically the summary is that that roadway work will still be done. However, that work will be added to the water main project, similar to what we did on East Main Street a year ago, and will be pulled off the road contract. And in doing so, and also with water funds paying for some of the improvements because we're running water main down the center of the street, there's some additional funds that we're anticipating could be used to add some streets to the road program. So those are designated in the second page on the exhibit. And we had talked to Eric about this and kind of jointly agreed. So Cornelius, east of 47, there's a stretch that we need to take care of that was already planned in the next 3 years. And that Beecher, south of 34, also planned within the next 3 years. So the idea was to pick them up with the actual road program contract. So a little confusing. Hopefully I explained it well enough and certainly answered questions anybody may have. But bottom line, getting everything done that we said we were going to do, plus maybe a little bit more, just kind of breaking it up.
No questions here.
So the total amounts, what are we trying to do, 2 million?
Roadway work, so we were at probably about 1.3. And actually, if you add baseline, you're 2. Okay. So we're probably slightly over $2 million. Yeah. So, the contract B, if you add all the roadway and everything in and the water main, you're pushing over a $2 million infrastructure project.
So you typically vote on these schedules in fall before we do the design engineering. So obviously we're compressing, this is the second phase of Road to Better Roads.
Right.
So this would just be general consent of the roads and water mains that we're adding, and then there would be the second vote for the actual design contract with the EI to do the work to work out today.
Anything else?
All right, I think we need to do it.
Yeah. Chris?
Chris?
Joe? All right, you've got standard PW agenda for that one. Thank you. New business item number 8, PW 2023-08, which is our public works vehicle and equipment five-year capital plan information item.
So there's actually two documents in the packet, and I'll let Eric walk everybody through the five-year capital plan, which may or may not get into the budget. So you're seeing his early requests that then have to be reviewed against funding and other priorities. But the second document in there is a list of all of the vehicles and equipment that we have, just on the public works side. Ken had asked for that at the PW facility presentation a few weeks ago. So we're just providing that in aggregate so that you see all of the fun tools and trucks and stuff.
Is this just public works only? Or is this
because
I know parks. Parks set me with something. So,
yep. So with that all.
Yeah, the five-year plan, we try to keep a rolling five-year plan, kind of like our budget. Unfortunately, the last couple of years, it's been stymied with carryovers. As you can see, we have a pretty heavy, heavy budget for this upcoming fiscal year, FY23. But most of that, almost $800,000 is carryover. So our new purchases are going to be smaller. But I think the important thing to know is that we're actually going to be able to start trading in trucks that will actually bring us a decent value. We're not going to be trading in junk for scrap. We're going to be getting rid of equipment when it still holds its value, yet has lived its useful life for us to get back on track to that replacement model of 7 years for pickups, 10 years for large trucks, and between 7 and 10 years for specialty equipment. There's a lot of vehicles on there, but we are, as Chris alluded to, we are a growing city. And we need to keep up with the times. I'll be happy to answer any questions as well. And this is hard to read on three pieces of paper. It's usually on one nice Excel spreadsheet going this way. So I apologize.
Yeah, just a few highlights. In 24, the proposal that I believe will end up making it into the budget is a new leaf vac. So we'll be able to keep our existing one. We were going to rehab it and then run a double leaf pickup. So it'll cut down our time, which is usually a huge issue for residents, but this year it wasn't because the leaves cooperated. And then the street sweeper, which caught on fire, the old one that we had a couple years back. Everybody was okay, obviously, and so we're going to replace that. So we are outsourcing that. We've run the analysis. We'll put that in the budget that talks about like how often we've been doing it, how much it costs to outsource it, and then make the pitch basically to in-house that again. And then a bunch of dump trucks, throughout that'll help with snow plowing.
Is the leaf vac going to be similar to the existing one, or is it going to be a more modernized one? Is it going to be like the one where the guy sits at the actual vacuum and he can move himself back forward, or is it going to be one of the...
It'll be with the remote control. So we don't have to have, we don't have to trade out guys every three blocks.
Because they get too tired moving.
Remote control, or we have the option at $150,000 to actually put a smaller unit on our old street sweeper chassis.
Okay.
That's something we're exploring. And we're also exploring the leaf choppers, where you make the hopper bin on the trucks.
Yeah.
They're very fast, but they're not quite as clean as the leaf vacs. So we're looking at a lot of options right now, just trying to narrow it down.
Not sure.
But they still make our exact same unit. It just went, we bought that original one for $35,000, now they're $150,000. It's crazy.
I was going to insert a dad joke there. Right now, too. I was going to say, did you scan leaf that price alone?
Yeah, leaf that. That's a great dad joke right there. And again, this is in this. Just in the budget process. This is just the initial requests.
Yeah. All right. I don't have any questions, Ken.
No, I think it's...
Any other ones, Chris? Good. I assume Joe doesn't, so... Excellent. Thanks, Eric. New business item number 9, PW 2023-09, which is a 2023 water main replacement contract B design engineering agreement.
As we discussed at the previous agenda item, we've got the actual design contract for the additional roads. It is estimated to be $139,496, with $131,000 of that as a fixed fee, and about $8,000 or $9,000 of it with direct expenses that are estimated. So again, this would allow us to start the design for all the water main replacements we have to do, road projects, and get that second Road to Better Roads section completed this calendar year, hopefully.
Questions? Oh. All right, still on the standard PW agenda. You guys are in agreement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. Thanks, Mark. New business item number 10, PW 2023-10. Bright Farms, our plat of dedication and grant of easements.
All right, as part of the Bright Farms development, they are being required to dedicate right-of-way along Corneal's, so just standard development process. And that official plat of dedication is in the packet. And then on top of that, there are easements that are required on the project. Certainly related to the sewer project, which we commented on earlier, and then the typical standard easements, which are basically on the perimeter, public utility easements and what have you. So we've reviewed it. They are acceptable, and we are recommending that the city approve both documents. And be happy to address any questions anybody may have.
Have none?
No. Chris?
All right. Joe's big note there. I anticipate there's going to be any discussion needed in City Council. Are we guys good with consent?
Yeah, they could always pull it off if they want.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Why do you look at me? I'm not the rule maker.
I know, you're the rule follower. That's why I'm looking at you. All right, excellent. Yeah, consent's good for that. New business item number 11 here, PW2023-11, Bristol Bay, the Route 47 connection discussion.
Yeah, so I know Chris had talked about adding this to the agenda for discussion. I provided a couple documents just as a point of reference. So the first is Brad's most recent estimate of extending just Bristol Bay Drive, which is the far north east west street in Bristol Bay, to Route 47, assuming we were doing the project now without any help from the state. So that estimate, I think, was actually from 2020. Or was that updated? It is dated 10/11, so okay. So $2.2 million, we'll call it, in current value. And then the second document is our MOU from IDOT for the Route 47 expansion project north, including cost share for different items, including extension of Bristol Bay Road. So in there, it does say $50,000. I believe that has not been updated correctly. So I think in the budget, we had assumed on an upper end that it would be about $250,000 out of pocket. Hopefully that's way too high. That gives you an idea of kind of what we've been looking at from just an uncertainty and a construction inflation perspective. And then in anticipation of this meeting, I did email our District 3 IDOT contact and just said, hey, we're looking at this, we're talking about it with the state. Well, first of all, what is the earliest possible date that the state would come through and do this work, where we would then have to chip in and then it would be complete? And then the second question I asked him is, if we decided to accelerate that, let's say we did a section of it ourselves, would the state ever consider like a reverse funding arrangement? Or we did it to their standards, and they paid us back and gave us a credit for our other projects. So I have not heard back from him yet, but I did pose a question, so we'll see what he says. So with that, I'll...
The actual Route 47 project is in the FY23-28 multi-year plan. When you go through the actual plan, it appears that everything related to Route 47 is 2024 to 2028 in unspecified time. Some of the work is actually being done in terms of acquisitions. So when you go through the document, there's a different lines of how this is spread out because of the different types of the project.
So the way they do that, just so you know, they have like a one-year budget that's like legal authorization. And so all the design and land acquisition is in that year one budget, so current year. And then everything else is planning like we do. But they have told us that IDOT District 1, which is running from Sugar Grove all the way down south, actually to Galena Road in Yorkville, or maybe even a little bit south there, is accelerating at a faster pace than the section between Galena and Cornelius, basically, or down to Kennedy. So the section adjacent to Bristol Bay should theoretically be on a faster time frame, but they haven't said land acquisition is wrapping up, we're going to go to bid this spring or next spring yet, so that's an unknown piece of it. But my general understanding is that they are proceeding forward with that section before they're doing any other section of 47.
Which kind of makes sense. It's a odd situation because of the two districts, county lines, there's a lot of bureaucracy about it, and then just getting through the multi-year plan. They've allocated monies, but not all, obviously, so that's the big issue, is just getting the whole thing done. It makes sense for us financially just to wait till they come through and do the road, because our cost share is significantly less. If we get answers and they say, hey, we'll reimburse you for it, if you build it, that's great. The reason I wanted this on for discussion is my concern is the new construction happening in Bristol Bay. We have single family homes that are being built. MBR Ryan, they are building on the southeast side. their foundations for the townhomes in the north and in the south, that very large pod in the south. Basically, the only thing remaining that's not started yet are the condos. My understanding is they are going to come forward with the condo plans conforming to the annexation agreement, which means that it doesn't come before council. All they got to do is pull permits. So that's what's happened with the townhomes too. So we could see a lot more impact, and all of this comes through that one access drive. So that's my concern. We have an obligation as the city to build that access, that road out to 47. That's part of the development agreement that was in place. It's been there since this development started. There's no timeline for us to do it, which I don't know how we managed to do that, but that was kind of a saving grace at the time.
Sure.
But I think we are approaching a critical time to have to put that road in. And if IDOT can give us a specific date and it's soon, I might be willing to say let's wait. But if it's still not going to be till 25, 26, 27, or 28, that's problematic for me. We're going to have too many homes in there, new homes. That much more population is not going to be sustainable on that one drive. I mean, I'm not a traffic engineer, but I've driven that during school hours. I've driven it evening hours when you're, you know, just people are getting home from work. It is a challenge. And we're adding hundreds more to that, if not thousands more in terms of population. So I would beg to say that if the traffic study was done right now, it would be over an acceptable range. So I think we need to look at this, not even getting into the safety concerns of the school, fire department having only one way in and out, police response having one way in and out. There are a lot of issues that I see up here. So I think we need to see if we can get a quick response from IDOT. If it's favorable, let's move. Otherwise, I think we're going to have to bite the bullet on this one somehow and are finding a way to do it in our budget, because it is an obligation that we have. And I don't think we can shortchange this one.
How quick is his typical response time to you?
A few days.
Yeah. Okay.
I sent it to him on Thursday.
Okay.
And he had responded back, same contact, about the Crusade issue, and just looking at different options there. So he responded back actively and posed some questions. So my guess is between him and his D1, District 1 contact, who might actually be running this design of it, they probably have to put their heads together to come up with a response.
Yeah. Okay.
So how do we go forward? You just bring it to the next Public Works meeting?
As soon as he responds to me, I'm happy to forward it along really to everybody, regardless of committee schedule, and then we can talk about it at that point.
So this is obviously something. If it's a choice we choose to move forward with, it would be something maybe we have to try to squeeze it into the budget or plan to get into the next budget. It's just one of those, when do we want to do it? That's going to be a consideration moving forward. The budget that's part of the staff are working on for the next.
We do a roads to newer roads. No, but it's a valid thing to bring up with no longer stagnant or lack of growth there as well. Chris and I have been, a couple residents have reached out. Concerns, not necessarily relative to that, but still valid and would come up, right, if it hadn't. So I think it's definitely worth a discussion, worth seeing kind of what the response is. Seeing where that's at, kind of finding a way forward, whether or not it's an uncomfortable decision to make, right, spending money that otherwise we won't have to. We certainly won't put it out as much, right, as they're possible. We turn in our receipts and, they give us a little rebate. That doesn't need to be spent on that same store. That's good. So, good discussion. We'd appreciate it if you could forward that to all of us and you get that response. That'd be great. We'll go from there. Excellent. Scan, you got any questions there? Chris, anything else?
That's enough.
All right. Joe, you got anything?
You think he's still awake, Chris?
No.
Okay.
He's back.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Excellent. That concludes our
New business items. There are no old business items. Is there any additional business?
I'm just going to make a comment that I wish we had a lot more commercial like the towns east of us, because these money decisions would be a lot easier to make.
More industrial.
Hmm?
Industrial.
Anything that brings revenue.
All right. Excellent. So with that, let's go ahead and call the meeting to a close at 7:12.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all.